Well, I planted weed seed oats, got some chickens and some shows. Aim to have some ham and eggs to feed my face. Got a muley pull, plow, got a no red muley cat.
You're listening to Radio Dr. Lincoln.
This place. Well, it blowed away. Planted blown away. Well, you can't grow any green if you ain't got any rain. Everything.
Guess what day it is?
Julie.
Julie. Guess what day it is?
Guess what day it is?
Guess what day it is? Anybody? Anybody?
Guess what day it is?
Guess what day it is? Anybody? Anybody? Mike.
Huh?
What day is it, Mike?
Huh?
Woo-hoo! Mike.
Huh?
What day is it, Mike?
Huh?
Oh, come on, I know you can hear me.
Leslie, guess what today is? Leslie, guess what today is? Leslie, guess what today is? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Hump day!
Woo-hoo!
It's hump day.
Hump day!
Woo-hoo!
Uh-oh. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Uh-oh. Mike. What day is it, Mike?
It's hump day.
Hump day!
Woo-hoo!
It's hump day.
Hump day!
Woo-hoo!
You're listening to Radio.Dominican.edu. This is Good Day from the Bay, and I'm Harper Clementine.
And I'm Ruby Joe. Welcome to Good Day at the Bay, where we give you the news feeds, the entertainment sleeds, and some sports leads.
So it's a gloomy, very down-in-the-dumps kind of day here in San Rafael. Wouldn't you say, Ruby Joe?
I would. This is our first Wednesday of rain, I feel like.
It is. Well, it's the first day. One day, but it stopped.
But today it's like pouring.
It's still pouring. Poor Ruby and I had to walk not even that far. We walked from the library here to the studio, which is probably only a 5-minute walk.
Yeah.
And we were completely drenched. And unlucky for me, the one day I decide to wear my bifocals, they're drenched and I can't see. I'm like a blind mouse.
She walks into class and her glasses have water smeared all over them. It's like,
and I try to clean them up and they got foggy and it's just super nasty.
She looks at me and she's like, I can't even see right now.
Yeah, it's the blind leading the blind.
Basically.
So we're going to start off a little news feeds. Ruby Joe, what do you got for us today?
Well, today I'm going to start off with a small twin engine cargo plane, which crashed into a home in Chicago on the southwest side on Tuesday, killing the pilot but sparing a couple who were just sleeping inches away. The Aero Commander 500B slammed nose down into the front of a home around 2:40 a.m., punching through the ground floor into the basement and leaving about a third of the aircraft, including the tail, sticking straight out of the red brick home. The wreckage was about 8 inches away from them. Assistant Chicago Fire Department Commander Michael Falk said of the home's two residents, it's very lucky they were in a bedroom next to the living room because the living room is gone. Both the first responders, they were fine and they refused for any medical attention. After stabilizing the house, the crew discovered the body from the wreckage. No one else was on board. Fire crews found a fuel leakage from the wreck, but there was no fire or explosion, and the airframe was mostly an impact, investigators say.
That's scary.
Yeah, just imagine you're sleeping in the middle of the night and bam, a plane crashes into your house. Luckily, you're inches away and don't get injured, but still.
Gee.
You must think like what the pilot was doing.
Yeah, there must have been a little foul play there.
Yeah.
That's a big mistake.
That's a big mistake.
That's interesting, though. Thank you for that piece of news. Cool. Ladies, Charles Manson is officially off the market.
Oh.
80-year-old Charles Manson and his fiancée, who already considers herself his wife, have gotten a marriage license. Manson intends to marry Afton Burton, who goes by the name Star. Several years ago, she moved from Illinois to Corn Con, a small central California city that is home to Cornerstone State Prison. This is where the 80-year-old convicted murderer has lived for the past 25 years. She talks to Manson almost every day by phone and visits him on most weekends. No date has been set for the wedding. The source said the couple has 90 days to exercise the license without having to reapply. According to Jeffrey Callison, a spokesman for the California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation, the wedding must happen on a visiting day. According to Jeffrey Callison, a spokesperson of the California Department says that his fiance, Manson's fiance, will be allowed up to 10 guests from outside the prison in addition to the officiant of their choice. The two additional guests from inside the prison will be allowed as well. No outside photography will be allowed, and the prison limits physical contact during visits. During the visit, Starr and Manson can only hug each other at the beginning and at the end. Because Manson is serving a life sentence, they will not be allowed conjugal visits even when they're married.
Wow, that sounds like a very complicated marriage.
Well, and she's 26.
She's in there for the money.
No, he has no money. Well, why He's not famous. He's
why just, is she even in this?
She when I read later reports, she runs websites about him. She like fantasizes about him. Like, she's a little cuckoo in the head.
Oh.
Yeah, she probably is one of like his followers. Like, you know how he had a group of girls that he helped? Yeah, like she's kind of like brainwashed into that, and like she looks creepy.
Wow.
Her eyes are like kind of sunk in the back of her head, and she has like these dark eyes and dark straight parted down the hair, like her middle of her head hair.
Kind of girl looks like from The Grudge.
No, she looks like all the girls that he had following him. Ooh. Like she looks identical, and it's so scary. And some people are like, she must be mentally unstable, or she's doing it for the fame. And I'd say it's a little bit of all of that.
Yeah.
I mean,
it has to be.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, if she's marrying for the right reasons, who knows? But the fact that she's considering marrying a serial killer, it's not even like he has millions of dollars. He's famous for killing famous people.
Yeah, that is true.
It's like he's broke. Like, he's been in jail for 25 years and he's 80 now. I mean, he'll probably only live another like five.
Yeah, and that's so weird that, I don't know, I still don't understand.
He has a swastika tattooed on his forehead. Is that attractive? Like, that's disgusting.
Is that a, you know, some people would think beauty in a different way.
It's sick. It just shows you where they're at mentally, but I would say congrats, but I don't think it's cool.
I would say congrats, but I don't mean it.
Like, have fun.
Have fun.
Like, the most contact they're going to have with each other is a hug.
Yeah. I mean, maybe no she can't get anyone else. This is
if she likes people like that, or she's anything like him, I could see why no one would want to touch her. She's just spawn of Satan.
That's aggressive. That's very aggressive.
Well, that's what they called him. He was did very satanic things.
Well, not as bad, but on the same side as the prison, a Fort Carson soldier has been charged with murder and shooting death of a 19-year-old comrade while they were deployed to Jordan in May, the Army said on Tuesday. Jeffrey T. Page, 23, of Ohio, has been accused of killing Adrian M. Perkins of Pine Valley, California, with an M4 rifle on May 15th at an airbase. A hearing is scheduled at the Colorado Post Wednesday to determine whether there's enough evidence for a court-martial. Perkins joined the Army in August 2012. He has been assigned to Fort Carson since January of 2013, and that was his first deployment. Page has been in the Army for 2.5 years. No other information was released about his services record. If convicted of murder, Page could face life in prison without parole and dishonorable charge. He is also charged with manslaughter, negligent homicide, and failure to obey an order of regulation.
Jeez.
Yeah, you would think that people that go to the Army are like, you know, a group, a team,
an honorable
together.
Bunch of people.
Yeah, like, what would it like caused him to want to murder his side by?
But you know what? Sometimes, per se. I mean, there's a lot of explanations, but I feel like sometimes our service members go through such a great deal of traumatic stress, and it almost probably sparks or breaks something in them that there's no lines anymore. Because it's like when you're trained to kill, I mean, it's no matter how hard you're trained, you're still human,
yeah.
You know? And when you hit that point of like, holy crap, I'm completely desensitized or I'm broken, like the lines are blurred. Like those emotional attachments don't mean much, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard because being in the Army, it says for like 2.5 years. I feel like that doesn't seem like that long of a time.
Unless he went through something traumatic, if he was deployed right away.
This is his first deployment.
But I mean, if it deployed right away and he maybe encountered something in the first day, the first week, because it's
That's
not like,
true. We're not there. We don't know what sparks there.
I mean, not saying it's right. I mean, it could be just because he was a loose screw already. Because if it's Army, maybe they didn't perform a background check or like a psychiatric evaluation, you know? Because some people join the Army for all the right reasons, and then there's some people who don't.
That's a good point.
There's the people who do. Sometimes they break. Sometimes they don't. And some of the people who enlist for the wrong reasons do good things or they do bad things. I mean.
And in this case.
It was a bad thing.
He was broken.
That's quite sad. Oh, my gosh. Well, hopefully we can put an end to inner military violence.
Exactly.
I feel like there's so much violence on the outside of America and the outskirts of the world. And the last thing we need is like it's brothers fighting. I look at it as a brother-sister thing.
Yeah, but. You know, brothers fighting and then brothers killing each other. Two different things.
But so, it escalates. It escalates because they got possession of all these scary weapons.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, that they do have possession of all these weapons. So if someone does anger you, you're just like, okay, shoot.
Like, done. Bam, bam.
You're
yeah.
done.
Yeah, no, it's scary. But on that kind of like creepy, sad, scary thing, do you have the stomach to handle a kind of a funky story?
What kind of funky? I'm not a blood person. You know that.
Body parts.
All right. You know, you're going to say it's gloomy, it's dark, it's scary. Let's lay it out on the line for us.
Try and keep your vomit in.
Okay.
Arrest warrants have been issued for two Americans accused of, get this, stealing adult and infant body parts
what?
From a body museum in a Thai hospital and trying to ship them to Las Vegas. The two men have already left Thailand despite being interviewed by police. The Americans Ryan Edward McPherson and Daniel Jamin Tanner told police they wanted to surprise their friends back home. Royal Thai Police Deputy Commissioner Jen Roingsaki Jirataki said Monday it's unclear whether McPherson or Tanner have attorneys. So far, they have not been able to be reached for comment. However, a delivery company uncovered the macabre shipment on Saturday. A DHL officer in Thailand's Pathum Thani province called police after workers were scanning shipments and discovered the body parts inside three packages. The packages contained five acrylic plastic boxes. One box contained, are you ready for this?
We're ready for this.
An infant's head.
No.
Mm-hmm. Another contained a baby's left foot, which was sliced into three pieces. And the last box, an adult heart and adult skin.
I wish you could just see my people could see it, my face right now.
If you didn't get it the first time, two Americans went on vacation to Thailand, went to a Thai hospital, and within the Museum of Body Parts, they stole an infant's head, which has been decapitated from a baby, cut off its foot, chopped that into three pieces, and then took an adult heart and skin and put it in little acrylic boxes and put them in UPS and sent them over to Las Vegas.
Rhetorical question. What state of mind are these people in?
Yeah. I my stomach, like, dropped.
Yeah.
I was like, the headline was body parts being shipped to the U.S. And I was, like, thinking prosthetics. Like,
yeah.
Duh. Like a normal human being.
Yeah, like body parts that like save people that like
help
handicap
people.
Yeah.
Like body parts, like plastic surgery pieces, but no, no, no. And the thing that made it most disturbing because
it's an infant.
Well, I could understand maybe an adult heart, shipping that to a museum or whatever. I mean, because people tend to do that. I mean, people keep a record of those, so to say. But an infant head and a little left foot cut in three pieces.
That's disgusting.
And skin. What in the HE double hockey sticks are you going to do with skin? It wasn't like
skin.
It wasn't like dry skin that you shave off with like a pet egg or like your like toenails or anything. It was like someone skinned a human.
Oh my gosh. That's disgusting.
And it makes me wonder what the heck were they doing in Thailand?
Yeah.
Like, what is going on over there? Like, if that's all they got, if all these Americans got this just in a short amount of time, what is there in like little black marketplaces?
Is
there a market for this? Like, do you make money off this?
Infant body parts black market.
There's
black market for water. So who knows?
Black market for everything. But I just
who knows
was
about
appalled.
That?
A child. Someone's baby.
It's the saddest thing.
Ugh. So that's why I asked you if you were ready for that. Because it like my stomach just goes. Oh.
Yeah. I was not feeling that. I was about to tear up. I was like, I'm not feeling this. All these different emotions
it's
coming
funky.
At me.
I didn't know how to even like tease the story. There's like no teaser.
There's no way you can. You just have to go straight into one of those.
Lay it into you. Just hard and straight.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, I hope you have something a little less doom and gloom.
I actually have something that is a great transitioner for this one.
Okay.
Listen up. A quick-thinking teenager is credited with helping to save the life of an 11-month-year-old baby who suddenly stopped breathing inside a Missouri Walmart. See, baby, moving on to a baby being
better
saved.
Story.
There we go. The fanatic situation occurred Wednesday inside a store in High Ridge, Missouri. Surveillance video showed the mother desperately trying to revive her baby. The store's manager called 911. Abby Snowgrass, 17, heard the commotion from aisles away and ran to help, performing CPR. She had recently learned the procedure in her health class at Hillsboro High School in Hillsboro, Missouri. I quote, "The one thought that crossed my mind was, what if it doesn't work? And I had to push it out of my mind and keep going because I knew that's what I had to do." End quote, Snowgrass said. Without the teen's swift actions, the infant may have died, emergency responders said. Authorities said that the mother and child are doing well now.
Wow.
A 17-year-old.
I saw that on the news. Remember your health class. Yeah.
Remember going to your health classes. You do this on babies. You do this on like all the like fake stuff. And then you go in and it happens. Like this is like a real life test that happens
to you. And it's like you can't practice these things real life.
No.
Like it's like a once in a lifetime kind of thing.
It is a once in a lifetime thing.
But good thing she was able to keep her cool.
I don't think I would be able to do it because in my health class, we didn't even practice. All we did was watch season 1 through 5 of Harry Potter in my high school health class.
I've taken a few classes, but I mean, I still would panic.
Yeah.
Because it's like their life is in your hands.
And the mother doesn't do anything. The 17-year-old girl that's younger than our younger sister, like, just boom, goes into it.
That's amazing. That's
the mindset.
What a great civilian out there. There is hope for our upcoming generation.
There is hope.
There
is some hope right there.
Playing off of that, kind of with this theme of rebirth and living and the dead and all of that, and I feel like it's a perfect story for this rainy day because I feel like rain symbolizes washing out the old and growing the new.
Once, you know, it re-rises again.
Yeah, so get this. If you thought that coming back from the dead was a fantasy, you are completely wrong. And it's not that zombie apocalypse crap either.
Not that show you showed me either?
Nope. Never underestimate the healing power of a good nap. A 91-year-old woman in Poland was declared dead November 6th and sent to a funeral home, only to wake up 11 hours later in a cold storage.
No.
Mm-hmm. She's now home and doing fine, and the doctor went to the home of Jania Kolcwicz and the house of Ostro Lombeski on November 6th after her family said she had stopped breathing. Quote, "I checked the pulse on the forearm artery, the carotid artery, and I listened to the heart for breathing. I also examined the pupil. There was absolutely no reflexes. Typical symptoms of death," end quote. The doctor signed the death certificate and Kolcwicz's family began planning services according to TVN. The funeral home called and authorities are trying to figure out what exactly happened. Quote, "We are investigating whether the doctor exposed the woman to imminent danger and the loss of a life, as the lady was moved to a funeral home and kept in cold storage," end quote. A spokeswoman for the prosecutor's office in Lublin said it's under investigation.
That is my biggest fear. That's my biggest fear, to wake up and be like knocking on like the rooftop of your coffin and be like, excuse me, I'm not dead.
No, you know, like in the coroner's office, they put you in those cells.
Yeah,
she was stuck in that.
Even worse.
And those are really cold to preserve the bodies.
Oh my
naked.
Gosh.
She was naked.
And I don't know, how do you think she like... Like,
but she died legally.
Knock, knock, knock. I'm still in here.
She legally, because they probably pulled her out to like start cutting her open.
Oh my God.
Isn't that crazy? And it's like morbid humor, but family drops her off. They're all in tears. My mom's dead. Days come. And then all of a sudden they get a call from the funeral home. Hey, we have your mom. You need to come pick her up.
This story.
Like grandma's just sitting on the curb at the funeral home. Like, you thought I died.
You really thought I died.
Like, I couldn't help but kind of giggle because there was obviously a positive ending at the end. But
it
made me think, how many people have this actually happened to, but we just put them in the ground already?
Ew. And then they re-die because of that situation. Yeah. That's my biggest fear, is waking up like under the ground or like in like a really tight compacted space when like people think I'm dead and I'm like not.
I'm extremely claustrophobic.
Yeah. The haunted house I went to was like a mortuary haunted house.
Yeah.
So like they put you in those like drawer things and like they actually made you get in those and I was like,
I'd have been like H double hockey sticks,
like,
no.
I was like, I'm not getting this. So like you have to, and they're like zombie voices and
you're
I was like,
do you know what I have to do? Hit you in the face.
Yeah. I was like, I can't do this. And like you, and so then like I obviously got pushed through that and I was having like a miniature panic attack because I was like, I'm gonna die in a haunted house.
I had like had a panic attack in the on an MRI.
Yeah.
Like I had to get prescribed a sleepy drug.
Those are scary. I would calm myself.
And they're
loud.
Oh no. So yeah, that kind of freaked me out. I guess the only positive side is if you are dead and you are on a coffin. If you're already in the coffin, you've already been, like, embalmed. So you're definitely dead.
Yeah.
You're filled with formaldehyde.
Oh.
Isn't that gross? Yes,
that is really gross.
Yeah. So, I mean, wow. It was kind of like a play on your story and play on the story before.
I played on your story and then you played on mine.
It's like we're just kind of tag teaming right now.
Yeah, going back and forth on it.
All right. Hit me with another story.
All right. So mine moves on to the weather. So switching it up completely.
Okay. We're switching up. No health?
Well, this is still has to do with news.
Oh, news. Okay, gotcha.
News weather information. I got health right after this.
Gotcha.
All right. So parts of New York measured the season's first big snowfall in feet rather than inches on Tuesday, as 3 feet of lake-effective snow blanketed Buffalo area and forced the closure of 132-mile stretch of state highway. The waist-high snow blown by strong winds stopped even pedestrians in their tracks, and motorcyclists abandoned vehicles where they got stuck. National Weather Service meteorologist Tony Insuni said that the storm was dumping 3 to 4 inches of the snow per hour. The thruway authority said whiteout conditions caused the wind gust and more than 30 miles per hour forced the closure of Interstate 90 in both directions from Rochester area to Ripley on the Pennsylvania border 60 miles southwest of Buffalo. The National Weather Service warned that the snow of the Great Lakes would continue at least through Wednesday, affecting also Interstate 81 through Syracuse and the Canadian border. Lancaster, just east of Buffalo, reported 42 inches by 9 a.m., while just to south in Orchard Park, there was 36 inches. But typical of the lake effect snow, areas just a miles away, included downtown in North Buffalo, had seen just a couple of inches. State troopers were using all-terrain vehicles to deliver blankets and other emergency supplies to motorcyclists stranded on the thruway overnight, said State Police Captain Ed Kennedy. It wasn't known yet how many people were stuck in their vehicles.
Wow. That's kind of scary. My biggest fear is like flash floods and
being snowed in on a freeway.
Anything with natural disasters, because it's nothing you can control.
Yeah, you can't control that.
Like, what do you do? Say, stop rain.
Yeah. Well, like, especially with the snow, like it's freezing and it's up
ice.
To your waist.
It's ice.
Soon you're like stuck.
It's like a quicksand.
Yeah.
But quick snow.
But colder.
And colder, and you will die.
And it is not fun. That's a good thing. Thank God I live in California, so I don't have to deal with snow if I don't want to year round. Like in Tahoe, if I wanted to, I could. But you know, we're pretty low, so we don't need to.
# way back Wednesday when you lived in Cincinnati.
# way back Wednesday. And when
you actually had to go in the snow.
Yeah, walk to class.
It's
that
so
was
funny.
Always fun.
It's funny, all my like my high school best friends who go to Boulder and Oregon, I see their Snapchats this
yeah.
time of year and it's all the snow.
Like,
it's
first
like
snow day. This
they're
is
like,
awesome.
They're like taking videos of them walking to class in the snow with like all these jackets and scarves and beanies and mittens, like looking
this
like
it happened 2 days ago. I got Snapchats from Cincinnati and they're like first snow day, da 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 da. They're like, oh, and I like looked outside, I was like, weather 65.
Yeah,
still good.
Like we complain about a little rain, but I'd much rather have rain and like walkable pathways and snow to slip through. Because then there's ice.
Yeah,
and you can slip and break your back.
I've slipped before, and you can't go on runs outside either because it's freezing. So
you can't really do anything, and like
you just
want to
go
out on the
weekend all day, and then you get fat. And
well, and then going out on the weekends really stinks because it's like you want to look cute, but then it's like you have to take off your 6 coats, 7 scarves, and 20 beanies exactly. and leave them at the front door of a bar or a house.
Trust me, been there, done that.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. So yeah.
I would wear my snow coat everywhere I went. I wear my snow coat, my snow pants, and my Uggs everywhere I went. And it was crazy because I was like, wow, there's no point even looking cute because I'm just bundled. My eyes are the only thing showing anyways.
I wake up every morning here when it's raining and I'm just like, I don't even want to be cold. And I look the ugliest I ever look all year round this time.
Wow. Yep. Yeah.
I mean, you see what I'm wearing. My glasses, you see what I'm wearing. My hair is schlopped up.
Just kind of rolled out of bed this morning.
It's just kind of, yeah, the effort's not there. But
so anyway. Do we want to hit a commercial and come back for health and tech? Sounds good?
Sounds good.
All right. You're listening to radio.dominican.edu, and I'm Ruby Jo.
And I'm Harper Clementine. We'll be right back.
Harley D here with your 3-minute break. 3 minutes of the wildest, weirdest, wackiest news to get your mind off your day. Let's get it started. A shocked student was left furious after discovering her Facebook photos had been stolen and used on a sex website. 20-year-old Grace Marr found that 3 of her images were used as a promotional offering, Hot Horny Singles. Grace, an English language undergraduate at Aston University in England, discovered after a friend of her mother's contacted her after seeing the images while surfing the internet. If you're gonna commit a crime, at least have the cojones to own up to it. 26-year-old Joseph Wance placed a $107 order for pizza, breadsticks, and soda for what he said was a party last Tuesday night. The delivery man arrived at 10:30 p.m. and rightfully became suspicious because he saw no cars or sign of a celebration. Wance allegedly put a BB gun to the head of the Pizza Hut worker and stole all the food and cash he carried. The suspect and another person later told police they witnessed the robbery and that Wance's cousin was the gun-toting culprit. On Wednesday, Palm Beach County Sheriff's deputies responded to a disturbance at Wance's residence. Police took Wance in for questioning, and the pizza delivery man identified Wance as the culprit in the previous night's robbery. According to a police report, Wentz said he blamed his cousin for the robbery because the two looked alike and he wasn't the only one going down for this. He now faces charges including robbery with a firearm and aggravated assault with a firearm. Police in Florida encountered a man wearing a jacket and a bra and riding a bicycle in front of a bank and prevented customers from using the ATM. Fort Pierce police asked Gregory Hunden to empty his pockets, and though it got him into trouble, the 33-year-old allegedly agreed. Out of his pants came a pair of women's undergarments, a crack pipe, 2 needles for drug use, a pill bottle, and brass wool, according to the Offbeat, which recently obtained the November 3rd arrest affidavit. Records from the St. Lucie County Sheriff's Office says Hendon faces charges of possession for drug equipment and resisting an officer without violation. Bond was set at $15,500. 29-year-old Jamie Brown stole a fish tank from a hardware store in Leeds, England in August and made a run for it, but soon after had to be rescued by police and emergency personnel after he stopped to urinate in a bush and that bush had a wasp's nest in it. I'm Harley D signing off.
Take our time. It rhymes.
And we are back. You're listening to radio.dominican.edu. I'm Ruby Joe.
And I'm Harper Clementine. Welcome back to Good Day from the Bay.
Woo!
I know. Happy hump day, San Rafael.
Woohoo. And now to start us back, we're going into some health and entertainment.
Yes.
So we're starting with health, starting with the new word of the year, vape. Vape is the Oxford English Dictionary word of the year. If you're a little hazy on the meaning, it means to inhale and exhale the vapor produced by an electric cigarette device, which are themselves also sometimes known as vapes. The word was coined as a way of distancing the act of e-smoking from the act of smoking combustible tobacco cigarettes, the OED said in the statement today. Vapers, the people who puff away on e-smokes, are feeling pretty good about their pastime officially entering the lexicon. They've taken to Twitter and other social media sites to celebrate. Word of the year honors were a long time coming for vape, though the word just added to the OED online site this year. The electronic cigarettes have been around since the 1960s, and the term came to use around the 1980s.
That's interesting that they created a word of for the year. Smoking.
Yeah.
Vape.
And the word of the year is vape. That's weird to me.
And it's like an official word, though.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
I feel like that's more of a slang word. Why not just say vapor?
Yeah, it is more of a slang word, but like vape is now like can I borrow your vape? Like, I don't know. It's like you're right. It is a slang word, but more and more people are using it like twerk.
To make it more,
you know?
Yeah, that's true. Bootylicious is in the dictionary, so I know. Why can't vape?
Right? It's the weirdest things.
That's funny. All right, next story.
All right, so this one's a little, it's like sad, but you can see the bright side of things, so.
Always the best story.
Yeah, so I'll bring it in right now. The mother of a young woman who chose to end her life after battling cancer is defending her daughter's right to die, saying critics have no place to comment while her family grieves. Debbie Ziegler, whose daughter Brittany Menard died earlier this month, also addressed the officials who recently plastered her daughter's decision as a misguided suicide. I quote, "My 29-year-old daughter's choice to die gently rather to suffer physical and mental intense pain does not deserve to be labeled as a reprehensive by strangers, a content way who do not know her or her particular situation," end quote. Ziegler wrote in the letter, Menard, who has been diagnosed with brain cancer, died on November 1st after taking a lethal medication prescribed by her doctor. She and the family have previously moved to California to Oregon to take advantage of the state's right to die law. Menard has become the face of the Death with Dignity movement in recent months through her work with a group of Compassion and Choices, and her chronicle her final days online, ticking items off her bucket list, and finally her final trip, the trip to the Grand Canyon.
See, a lot of people might disagree with me on this one, but I think what separates Brittany Maynard's death from like a suicide is that people who typically commit suicide have no immediate health problems, you know?
Yeah.
Like, they're in no direct harm. There's nothing that's like gonna like eventually kill them that they know of. Like, they're healthy, fine people, so to say. I mean, at least physically. And I think it's interesting because she was gonna die regardless, and
yeah,
the death she was looking at was a very slow and painful, almost torturous.
Yeah, that's what
very
she said.
Inhumane.
Torturous, strenuous death.
Super inhumane. And it's not like it was an unknown thing. It's like there are people in this world who have died from what she was going to die from. And I mean, like anybody in this world, everybody dreams of dying a peaceful death. No one wants to die, but when we all eventually die, we all say we want to die in our sleep.
Yeah.
We want to die with no pain. We want to die. Like, the biggest thing we always say is, I hope they were in no pain.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It's like,
and she was in pain and she needed to be put out of it. It's like when you, it's kind of like putting down your dog.
Yeah.
It's sad, but like a bad comparison.
You're not going to make them suffer.
Exactly. You put down your dog or your horse because you don't want this being, this animal to suffer. So
exactly. And it's not like she just took it because she's like, oh well, I'm gonna die, here I go. Like,
yeah,
she waited until she knew.
Yeah,
she felt it in her body. And it's like, no one
and
can
who
violate.
Wants to like live as a carrot, as some say, you
yeah
know?
Like,
with brain cancer, that's a very hard
and
thing.
And who's supposed to be the judge and how what her pain tolerance should be?
Yeah,
I mean, you know when you know. And I think it was very brave of her to look death in the face and take it on her own terms.
Yeah, so I completely support her decision, and I'm glad that she's the new face of the organization.
I agree. I think that was a very bold thing for her to do, and I think people are obviously going to feel mixed emotion about it because it's such a new thing. But, I mean, that's how American history goes.
Yeah.
You get uncomfortable with something and you don't like it until it you're forced to make it comfortable.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
All right. So for my final health story, switching back across the country back to Ohio.
Ooh.
Yeah, we're breaking it back down. Ooh. So Cleveland Clinic surgeons have replaced nearly the entire face of a middle-aged man severely disfigured in a car accident, the hospital announced on Tuesday. The operation in late September was the second face transplant by the Ohio hospital. More than two dozen face transplants have been done around the world, starting in 2005 with a French woman mauled by her dog. The hospital said that recipients want to remain anonymous. In a statement released by the hospital on Tuesday, the man said he was grateful beyond words to the donor and his family for their amazing gift. The patient became a candidate for the face transplant after many tries to reconstruct his face failed to improve his quality of life, the hospital said in a statement. The man had a trouble breathing and speaking, and the transplant offered the chance to save the limited sight in his sole remaining eye. Doctors transplanted about two-thirds of the scalp, the forehead, upper and lower eyelids, eye socket, nose, upper cheeks, upper jaw, upper teeth, salivary glands, nerves, and muscles and skin. The patient is recovering well, breathing out of a tube, and is expected to be able to eat soon, the hospital said. He will need medications for the rest of his life to prevent rejections of the new face.
That is so interesting. And I almost wonder if this is going to become like a type of plastic surgery that people are just seeking to have.
Yeah.
Because it's almost like all plastic surgeries begin with there's a deformity of some sorts. And then people develop body dysmorphic issue and they think that they're seeing things that aren't there. So I wonder if that'll be a thing of the future. Like,
you I think it's really good
face transplant.
This saves his life. This, you know, he can breathe now.
That's incredible.
It's a really good thing, I think.
In his circumstance, I think it's a great thing. I think that's incredible. We're able to give someone.
But I don't think that people should just do it to do it. I think this is a case where it's completely acceptable.
Well, I hope it's something that people don't get just to get. I mean, yeah. But you know, plastic surgeons, most of them are good-hearted people, but some of them are just doing it for the money.
Exactly.
You know those people who are like, oh yeah, I went to Tijuana for a boob job and now my boobs are like, I hope people don't take it upon themselves to do that.
Yes.
Like, oh my goodness. But no, that's awesome that we have the technology and the resources to take someone else's body features and successfully transplant them onto somebody else without complications.
And saving lives.
Saving lives one face at a time.
Doctors. You go.
Yeah, seriously. Well, we're going to switch things up this time and we're going to just go straight into technology news, take a break, and then I'll tease some of the entertainment. So with technology, according to the job posting, candidates should have at least 5 years of experience flying drones. It helps if you can fly actual planes, but the company Amazon has first announced that it is working on delivering packages via drones. The type of drones proposed by Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos is currently not allowed for private use under federal law, but federal aviation rules are slated to change in 2015, and the company has suggested that it could start testing its OccuCopters, or drones as it's called, to deliver small packages. Amazon is also looking for candidates who are knowledgeable about laws governing the use of unmanned aircrafts.
Wow.
So this is a whole new job opportunity for people out there.
Flying drones.
Not just planes, cargo planes, like all that. It's drones.
Drones.
But they're highly skilled people. You have to be able to fly a drone, know the airspace or air control.
Very
laws.
Smart people.
Very, very, very smart. Very smart. Yes, because I can barely fly a little remote control helicopter. Because
I was like, which way is up?
I can't even drive the ones out, the little trucks.
Yeah.
I like shattered my brother's. I flew it off the stairs.
Yeah.
I was like, oop, sorry.
My bad.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I thought that was really interesting, but I mean, hey, more jobs.
More job opportunities.
Yeah, preach it.
There we go.
Into something a little more interesting. It kind of like it's the upgrade of the drone, I'd like to say. It's something that the Wright brothers flew the first in all of history. They were the ones who began the aircraft, and it all started in 1903 with their first model, the Kitty Hawk. And the competition has never been so intense to create something to compete with the modern day airplane. But the technology that can give us the world's first affordable and easy pilotable flying car is almost here.
What?
Several startups are already moving their prototypes forward and the race is on. But just like the early days of flight, there are several schools of thought about which model will be the most efficient, workable, and worthy of being a template for the future. No need for a runway. Quote, for me, it has been a vertical takeoff and landing, says Daniel Lubrick, the managing director of Crossblade Aerospace Systems. Quote, I think this idea of an aircraft you can drive on the street, but you still have to find an airport for is nice, but it doesn't really solve the problem, end quote. His Arizona-based team has developed a concept for a hybrid five-seat transformer airplane called a Sky Cruiser. The quadricopter concept would allow flying a car to take off vertically from a traffic jam, for instance, without the need of a runway. Once airborne, it would switch to horizontal flight using about 150 bhp electric motors in the tail to power it through the air at more than 300 miles per hour. The designer claims it could fly from Los Angeles to San Francisco in little more than an hour.
Wow.
You could drive, I could drive myself home
in an hour. Yeah, see you in an hour. That's crazy, instead of 7 or 6 hours.
Wow. It's like your own personal private jet.
That is the coolest thing. That's going to be highly expensive, and I don't know how they're going to do the roadways for that. But
well, however, the technical difficulty with that is airspace rules. Like, all of a sudden, now you're going to have to be taking, like, schools to learn how to fly in the air. What are your right-of-ways? It's not like you can put traffic signals up top, you know?
Yeah, that's a good point. You can't really
Stop signs in the air. Like, how are you going to know right-of-ways?
Say you're, like, walking down the street, and all of a sudden a crash happens right over overhead miles high.
Or what if you get too high, or you're too low, or you run out of gas, or because you know, like, if you're out of gas on the street, you can pull over.
Yeah. And run out of gas in the air.
Yeah, not good.
Wow.
As some would say, uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
So I think it's a really cool concept, but I just don't think everyday people
have worked out yet.
I don't think everyday people are ready for that kind of responsibility.
I agree.
I feel like a lot of lives are going to be put in jeopardy. If you're scared of 16-year-olds driving on the road, I'd be scared of like 80-year-olds flying a plane.
Yeah, that's a scary
thought. That's like just bombs dropping.
You know, like people drive slow in the rain. Imagine in, you know,
like I can't
Yeah, because you're higher up and oh boy.
Yeah, and like they
going faster too.
You know, helicopters. Like if you're too low, the air is too thin and you'll crash.
That's scary. Scary thought right there.
Yeah. So I like it, but I don't think it's something that we need and we're ready for quite yet. But moving along into something a little more scary and disturbing, Snapchat. I feel like Snapchat every week, there's something wrong with Snapchat.
Snapchat's the real deal.
There's always an issue, from like leaked pictures to hackings to now you can save pictures. It's just
send money.
You can send money. It's ridiculous. And starting this week, the photo sharing app will warn you if another app on your phone is saving your pictures. The Snapchatters using the third-party apps will be forced to change their password. So Snapchat's tired of this really awful stereotype they're building, and almost the negative persona their company's building. They're starting to take action. If you refuse, your accounts will be locked. For that matter, because the whole point of Snapchat is that pictures have a self-destruct timer, the feature makes Snapchat a favorite for sexting or sending nude images. But there's a false sense of privacy, and this is not okay with the company. Because numerous third-party apps like SaveSnap, SnapGrab, and SnapSpy offers users the ability to save incoming photos, Snapchat is not really that private anymore. The whole system has a massive hole in it, and it's partly the fault of the users for downloading the stuff, and Snapchat for taking so long to block them entirely. In the past, Snapchat has asked users to please not use third-party apps that tap into the company's computer code, but it hasn't shut them down the way Twitter has. Snapchat said it's asking Apple and Google to block those apps one by one, and they're still around. On Tuesday, the company issued a statement along with a new policy. Quote, repeat offenders may have their accounts locked permanently, end quote, says Jewel Hazelbacker, the Snapchat spokeswoman. Keep in mind, though, if you do need a picture to save, your buddy's phone can still take a picture of the picture on your phone.
Like screenshot it, you mean?
Well, they're trying to forbid that, too.
I don't know how you get rid of screenshotting.
Well, it's something in the system. They can block you. They can, because it's like they're blocking third-party apps from accessing their app.
That's a good point. So but if they like can that's like a phone.
So if,
dial, like your app.
But they
like
could they can have
thing.
A code when because there's wires connected. It's like you can block that.
I love our like, hand movements. We're trying to explain things with our hands.
No, it's really it's crazy because they talk about the firewall and the company's privacy codes and like. Technically, they could go into your phone and like that's how people hack pictures. People from Snapchat can get onto your phone and pull things off your phone.
Yeah, that's really scary.
So they can go into your phone and prevent you from doing it.
I can honestly say I've never had the Save Snapchat app before. So
yeah, but now it's saying anyone who does will lose their Snapchat accounts.
Well, good.
Yeah,
I agree.
I think that's creepy. I think that's so creepy. Even if you're not sending bad pictures, it's like That's just creepy. I know. Like, collect a portfolio of everyone's pictures.
You're like, I don't think
so. And sometimes we do send funny pictures or, like, joking pictures. And, I mean, I know there's people out there who, 21, they're at the bars, they're sending funny pictures that they just want to, like, have a quick laugh over.
Yeah.
For me, I mean, I'm sure you too, we send silly pictures with double chins. Like,
yeah.
They're pictures that we don't mind sending for 5 seconds, but they're not pictures we want for a lifetime on social media. Posted.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't want people seeing our chins.
No,
it's a very private thing.
My three of them, I don't want people seeing all three.
Yeah, all six chins and, like, my little turkey gobble thing.
Getting ready right for Thanksgiving, aren't you?
Gobble, gobble. No, I think it's good that Snapchat's finally taking some sort of enforcing action. Doing something about it and trying to protect their users.
I agree.
Yeah, so that wraps up my technology segment. Are you ready for a commercial break, Ruby Joe?
I am ready.
All right, you're listening to radio.dominican.edu. I'm Harper Clementine.
And I'm Ruby Joe. We'll be right back.
Minutes of the wildest, weirdest, wackiest news to get your mind off your day. Let's get it started. Carnell Alexander at one point owed $60,000 in child support for a child he did not father and knew nothing about. But despite successfully challenging the claim 20 years ago, he still owes about $30,000. The mother who accused him long ago admitted saying that naming a quote-unquote father was necessary to get welfare benefits. A judge thus wiped out Alexander's debt to her, but the state of Michigan still demands that Alexander repay benefits it had paid to the mother. In October, Andrew Davies was ordered by a high court in England not to lie down in public places anymore, unless genuinely stricken by emergency. Previously, he had had a habit of making bogus calls to 911 to get attention. When police confiscated his phone, he began compensating by lying in roads until compassionate passersby called for an ambulance. A Polish doctor says she has been in deep shock since learning that a 91-year-old woman she pronounced dead woke up in the morgue several hours later. The doctor said she was sure the patient was dead after finding, quote, no basic life functions during a morning house call on November 6th. Shortly before midnight, an undertaker who brought in another body noticed the patient was moving inside a bag she had been placed in. Once it was opened, the patient complained of being cold and asked for hot tea, the media said. She was then taken home. More than 6 million students have downloaded the new iPhone app, PhotoMath, to solve Algebra 1 and Algebra 2 problems. Students do this by pointing the camera's phone at a printed equation. The answer and the explanation quickly appear on the screen as a teaching tool, or if students, quote, want to show their work. The Croatia-based developer told the court's website in October that it is working on upgrades for higher level math equations, but no relief is in sight for those chronically pesky word problems. Neighbors in the Mandarin neighborhood of Jacksonville, Florida, complained to the city recently about a resident who scattered hundreds of mothballs around her front yard, even driving over them in her car to crush them open and extend their obnoxious odor. The National Pesticide Information Center warned that the mothballs were hazardous to plants, wildlife, water, and air. But the female resident said she was forced into the tactic in order to prevent neighborhood dogs from defecating in her yard. I'm Harley D. signing off. This is radio.dominican.edu.
Thank you, Harley D. This is Harper Clementine, and you're listening to Good Day from the Bay. Up next, we got some entertainment sleaze. We got Nicki Minaj talking about babies and husbands and being a sexual icon. And after that, we got some 5 top moments from the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills premiere. Stay tuned and you'll get more in just a couple seconds.
She's having you.
Welcome back, San Rafaelians. Happy hump day. This is Harper Clementine.
And this is Ruby Joe.
And you're listening to Good Day from the Bay. Like I just teased, we got some entertainment stories coming up. Nicki Minaj talking kids, husbands, and being a sexual icon. And top five moments of the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Starting with Miss Nicki Minaj. Nicki Minaj is not shy about showing off her sexuality in her music videos. But let's get one thing straight. She will not have any babies out of the wedlock. In an interview with Complex, the 31-year-old rapper said, quite matter-of-factly, quote, I will definitely be married before I have my baby. Calm down, though. She's not pregnant, guys. Nicki's talking hypothetical kids in the future. She wants to become a mom sooner rather than later, though. And her third album, The Pink Print, comes out December 15th. Now, keeping that in mind, Nicki says if she doesn't have a child by the time she's done with album number 5, no matter how much money she has, she would be quite disappointed as a woman because she feels she was put here on this earth to be a mother. So by the time she's released her 5th album, she will have walked down the aisle, she told Complex, and it will be at least one baby or baby number 2 on the way. Miss Minaj doesn't say much about her potential baby daddy in the interview, but she does seemingly throw some shade at her rumored ex-boyfriend Safari Samuels on the new track Bed of Lies. Speaking with Complex, she admitted that her relationships, including those with her family, has suffered as a result of her fame. Quote, a lot of people, when they're chasing their dreams, they have to leave the people they love, she said. A lot of artists feel that guilt, but they just don't express it, end quote.
Wow, Nicki Minaj, everyone.
Yeah, so guys, I'd expect in 2 albums from now, who knows how long that could be.
Baby, baby.
Baby, baby, and a hubby, so.
Baby, baby, and hubby.
Yeah, baby watch starts now.
Gotta keep it on tabs.
Yeah, moving along though, did you watch The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills premiere?
I may have. I get them confused sometimes.
Okay, I am a huge Beverly Hills fan. I absolutely love everyone in it. I'm a big Brandi Glanville fan, even though she is off the rocker crazy and it's really hard to defend her. But speaking of it, the ladies of 90210 are back. The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills makes their triumphant return on Bravo, and along with your returning favorites are 2 new familiar faces, soap star Lisa Rinna and Eileen Davidson. Don't fret though, gone are last season's new additions Joyce Gerard and Carlton Giebbia. Not a peep has heard from them, talking about being skinny or even a Wiccan. With the new faces come, new drama, and boy, there is drama! All caps are totally necessary and quite the emphasis on it indeed. Here's what you can expect from this year's season. 1. Real Housewives assemble Camille Grammer, Taylor Armstrong, Adrian Maloof, Lisa Vanderpump, Kim Richards, and Kyle Richards. Together again, reunited as one. The original ladies of Beverly Hills assembled and danced the night away at Kyle's party, but not without some fireworks. Sadly, the comeback's Valerie Cherish was not invited to Kyle's white party.
Oh.
2. Lisa Rinna versus Kim Richards? So we've all seen that trailer, including the wine throw that's on par with some reality TV's greatest wine throws. While they can't reveal much, Lisa Rinna did drop this bit of information to E! News. Quote, what I learned is I'm fiercely protective of my family, end quote.
So there you go.
Don't mess with Lisa Rinna's family or she'll throw a whole glass of wine at you. Yeah,
boom.
Yeah, it's probably worth more than like our whole life.
I know, right?
A little bottle of wine. Number 3, Lisa Vanderpump is no longer an outsider. Considering her new tagline for this season is, quote, throw me to the wolves and I shall return leading the pack.
Bam.
Last season, pretty much every single lady turned on poor Lisa. But this year, she's back and making amends. Going from frenemies to friends, smoothing things over with Kyle, and even people from, I don't know, Kim Richards, and not Brandy so much. Her and Brandy aren't too hot. She has created a full enemy out of former best friend Brandy Glanville, and they're still not hot, and they won't be hot.
Tension.
Yeah, quote, it's not great, it won't be great, I think you should watch the show and hopefully you'll understand where I'm coming from. I tried and I did my best, end quote. This is what Lisa said at the premiere of the comeback in regards to Miss Glanville. Number 4, Mad Men is mentioned. Yes, Harry Hamlin appears this season, and yes, his work on Mad Men is referenced. Lisa Rinna is married to Harry Hamlin.
Okay.
Yeah, mental note. Last one, Brandy is looking for a new apprentice. While on the outs with Lisa Vanderpump, Brandy is desperately making amends with women she's had serious strife with. Will it work?
We'll see.
We'll see. The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills airs Tuesdays at 9 p.m. only on Bravo TV.
There you go.
That wraps up entertainment.
And if you have television, go watch these shows. They sound real interesting.
It's real good. I watched it last night. It's definitely worth it.
There you go. I've seen a few episodes, actually. So
it's really good.
All right. To switch things up a bit into sports real quick. We have Gareth Bale, who was offered more money by Manchester United, and I quote, he said, "I did not want to go to Barcelona ahead of the world record $85 million move to Real Madrid last summer," according to the player's agent. Bale, age 25, scored defensive goals against the Champions League and Copa del Rey finals to help his new side to two major triumphs in his debut season and has impressed during his time in Spain. But the Welsh could not have moved to Old Trafford from Tottenham if he decided to take up more luxury offer. When quizzed if Manchester United had offered more money, he replied, "Not much more, but more." I quote, "He has always wanted to play for Madrid. He could have gone to United and other clubs, but he's always wanted to play for Madrid."
Wow.
So going off of this one, is Gareth Bale is probably the world famous soccer player right now, beating out Messi, beating out Cristiano Ronaldo. We'll just finish up talking about him real fast.
Yeah.
Because he's a big time player who's come out from Wales, out of the blue, the small little country. He's big time player now. He started at Tottenham, which is a smaller English premier club, and now he's moved up to Real Madrid, where he does play with like Cristiano Ronaldo and this big upcoming roar that, you know, Real Madrid is the best soccer team, you know, in the world.
Yeah.
And they win a lot of games, obviously, with all the best players. So it's really good that this young man is playing for Real Madrid, one of the best teams. So congratulations.
Amazing, yeah.
He could go anywhere he wants, but he's playing for less money to stay with Real Madrid.
Loyalty. That is
right
loyalty.
There.
That is someone who really loves the sport and is doing it for the love, not the money.
Agreed. That's nice. Really good.
All right.
So we'll stop right there, going into our Thanksgiving traditions.
Yes.
You have any?
You know, my house is a little funky. We usually just keep it pretty basic. We always have like ham, turkey, stuffing, you know, the whole works. But in the last 2 years, like, our guest size has kind of shrunk down. It's a very intimate Thanksgiving these last few years. And this year I have learned that we will carry on last year's first annual tradition of turkey, ham, crab legs, scallops, halibut, salmon.
No mashed potatoes?
Well, that's all our meat.
Oh, my gosh.
That's all the protein. And then we have the mashed potatoes.
How many people do you have coming to your Thanksgiving?
100? There's five in my family. And then there's my uncle and his soon-to-be fiancé.
Oh.
He's proposing to her over Thanksgiving break.
No.
Yeah, they're coming up here, actually.
That's so exciting.
They're going to stay a night at my apartment and then drive up to, like, I think Napa.
Yeah.
And then he's going to propose to her there.
Oh, my God. That's so beautiful.
And the ring's beautiful. We helped him pick it out. It's my grandma. Like, my grandma was a big diamonds fan.
Mm-hmm.
And she left the rings for her two sons. And it is just, it's a sparkler. So,
well,
this, we don't really have a tradition, but we're just... Stuffing is a tradition.
Yeah.
I get to make the turkey. I like my dad makes me massage it to make it tender. It's really
very
is. And then I shove
lovely.
The stuffing up its hole. it's
lovely.
In the neck. The turkey neck.
Right
oh,
up.
Oh, it looks
right
disgusting. It looks absolutely nasty. What about you?
I make my deviled eggs every holiday. So my deviled eggs will be made.
Those are so good.
Picking up my cousins, there's going to be like 20 of us, 22 of us at my aunt's, and we're just, you know, the ham, the turkey, the desserts, like all good, traditional, we do every year, so it'll be
Don't
really
you
fun.
Have two cousins named Ruby and Harper?
That's who I'm picking up on Tuesday.
It's fate.
It is fate,
we
yeah.
just, we're all twins.
I know, I'm so excited to pick them up.
Oh, that'll be so exciting.
Yeah, they're staying with
I can't
me.
Believe Thanksgiving's coming up.
I know.
Technically, this should be our last show, but if you guys tune in 2 weeks from now, so not next Wednesday, but
first
the
week of December.
First week of December, we will be having our ho-ho holiday special.
We will.
Slash closing final show of the year.
Very sad, but at least there's one more to go.
Yes, but make sure you tune in. We'll be playing lots of Christmas music, like a lot of Hanukkah music, Kwanzaa music.
Mariah Carey Christmas.
Yeah.
Like, we're talking big time Christmas, because that's what it is. It's December. It's time for Christmas.
And Hanukkah. And a little Kwanzaa.
And a little bit of Kwanzaa.
It's going to be a Chokwanzaa.
We're mixing it all together. It's going to be a really fun show.
Exactly. So make sure you tune in 2 weeks from today, the first week of December on Wednesday, 2 to 3. This is Good Day from the Bay. I'm Harper Clementine.
And I'm Ruby Joe. You're listening to radio.dominican.edu. Wait a minute, sir.